Well, welcome to the continuing series, What on Earth Am I Here For? Today, we are talking about Purpose 3, and we are going to jump right in because I want you to know that you were made to be like Jesus. You were created to be like Christ. That's the title of this message. You were created to be like Christ. The reality is that we were called to be transformed by the truth. You know, growing up, my mom, a deeply spiritual woman, loves the Lord with all of her heart. Some of the earliest memories that I have is walking into the living room in early mornings and seeing my mom in her nightgown, the long, old school, like velveteen nightgown in her recliner with her Bible reading and praying. And she's an amazing woman of God, been a tremendous influence in my life, both my mother and my father. But my mom, growing up, would regularly, I know it sounds a little crazy and weird right now, but it's like my mom we'd be driving. I remember multiple times we'd be driving, and she'd say, "Look around you, son, because the enemy's at work in deception. We need to know the truth." And we're called to live by the truth. And when we live by the truth, we're transformed by it. The truth. This is what God's called us to be, transformed by His truth. Jesus actually said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Set you free from what? From the deception and the lies of the enemy that keep us trapped in a broken cycle of sins. I want you to be transformed by the truth. Really, in all honesty, like you hear a lot of like, "Oh, I want spiritual growth." Spiritual growth. I'm going to give you the simplest definition of spiritual growth that I know of. And here it is. Spiritual growth is simply the process of replacing lies with the truth. And when we replace the lies of the enemy, "I'm not good enough. I can't do that. I don't think that I would, I'm able to, that I, there's no," all the lies that we believe, all the can'ts, all the no's, all the lies we believe about who we are, how we're called to live, like how we're wired, like if we can allow the truth and the love of God to permeate our heart, our mind, and soul. Remember, our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. If we allow that to take place, we are transformed by truth, by the truth of Jesus. And that's what we're called to be, made in the image of Christ. So, if spiritual growth is the process of replacing lies with the truth, where do we find the truth? God's Word. God's Word. The Bible is our source of truth. And I want you to know that even the Bible says about itself in Hebrews 4 that it's alive, that it's active, that it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it cuts right to the quick of who we are. So I'm always going to encourage you to plug into the Word of God because it's a letter. This book is a letter that He's already written to you, and it contains the truth about who He is and who you are. But let me tell you, this book in and of itself can sit on a shelf and do nobody any good. In fact, you can even open it up and you can do the flop and drops. And I just did a flop and drop and you can read and it may have nothing for you. You may go, "Oh, wow. You know, I'm reading now out of Ezra. Give the priest in Jerusalem whatever is needed in the way of young bulls, rams, male lambs, and burnt offerings presented to the God of heaven." Like, you may go, like, "I've read that, but it didn't do anything for me." Let me just encourage you to keep reading. If you want to spiritually grow, if you want to become like Jesus, there is no substitute for His Word. And so there's three things that I want you to know about His Word. If you're going to be transformed by truth, the first thing is this: you have to accept its authority. In other words, you have to know that this is not just a historical document. It is a historical document, but it is the living Word of God speaking to you. If you want to spiritually grow and replace lies with the truth, if you want to be like Jesus, there is no substitute for taking His Word and putting it inside of you. Psalms 119, 105, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." Like, "I've hidden Your Word in my heart so that I might not sin against You." Like, we accept its authority. Now, here's the thing. I grew up being taught question everything, but always seek the answer. See, questions without seeking answers is simply foolishness. So there was a season in my life when I was in college where I questioned everything about this book. I question the very existence of God, the truth of who Jesus was. Was he for real? And I began a quest to find out whether or not the Bible was true, whether or not my parents and my pastor were right or not. Let me just say, it's always okay to ask questions if they're done with a heart to genuinely seek the answer. And it's a long story, and I'm not going to tell the whole story now, but I can tell you this, is I began to seek truth. I sought it in, you know, I was a science major at that time. I sought it in science because I was provoked by a professor, truthfully, who began to ridicule me because on the first day of this genetics course, he says, "Who in here is a Christian?" And I'm on the front row. Gotta be, because if not, I'll lose all my attention everywhere. And I look around like, yeah, I guess I grew up in church. I love the Lord. I had an encounter with God when I was a kid, and I want to serve him. And that began because it was a two-part genetics course with a lab, so I spent a lot of time with this guy. That began a year-long process of this man, tongue-in-cheek. He was a good guy, but he poked and prodded and picked on me and did his best to make me feel foolish in a lighthearted way in front of the whole class. And that really prodded me to seek the truth, and I sought it in science. I went out and read everything I could that would debunk intelligent design and creation and the Bible. But I also, at the same time, dove in even deeper into God's Word. And I began to seek God and say, listen, God, if you are real, I need to know. If your Word is true, I need to know. And let me just tell you, that's a long story. I'm not getting into it. Y'all can message me. Maybe I'll tell you that way of what happened. But I truly came to the revelation of the truth of who God is. And the truth of my mom saying, look around, baby, is deception everywhere. And I came to know the truth that Jesus is who he says he is. He's the creator of all, the Son of God, who came to his creation in human form and paid the price for our sin. And it was at that point, at 19 years old, even though I'd given my heart to the Lord, that I grew tremendously, because it was at that point I accepted the authority of God's Word. We have to accept, if you're going to be transformed by truth, if you want to be like Jesus, you have to accept the authority of God's Word to you. By the way, the Bible is how he speaks to us. It's one of the very primary ways, but he also whispers to us by his Spirit. So you need to be tuned in to the whispers of the Holy Spirit, because God is alive and he speaks to us today. And it will never contradict this. In fact, when I get a word from the Lord that I go, Lord, was that you? I'm always going to go back to Scripture to bounce it off that, to make sure that it's in line scripturally, because this is the primary way that God will speak. But he speaks so clearly, as you get close to him, he'll whisper his truth to you as well. Accept its authority. The second thing is you have to assimilate its truth. In other words, you take the truth that God speaks to you, whether it's a whisper of the Holy Spirit or it's something that he highlights in his Word, and you put it inside of you. That's why I'll go back to Psalms 119, like, your Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. I'm assimilating its truth. Let me tell you, if you want to grow rapidly spiritually, if you want the truth inside of you, here's the simplest way to do it. It is the discipline that not a whole ton of people engage in, but they should. Scripture memorization. Memorize Scripture. If you're going, what on earth am I here for? You were made to be like Christ. Maybe you call yourself a Christian. If you know the history of that term, you recognize that it was not something to be worn as a moniker that marks you as someone who's moral. In fact, Christian was a derogatory term. It was a term of ridicule and scorn that was heaped upon the Christians in the first century as they were under persecution, and they were called Christians, which really meant like little Jesuses. Do people look at you and think, oh my gosh, that must be what Jesus is like? That can be very convicting. If you want your life to be transformed, accept the authority of God's Word in your life, and then put his Word in your heart. Assimilate it into the essence of who you are. And then here's the third thing, if you want to be transformed by truth. You have to apply it. How do you know that something's true? You have to put it to the test. How do you know it's true? Because you've tested it. Will that chair hold me up? Well, sit down, you'll find out. Is this food that's 5 days old and been sitting on the counter gonna make me sick? I'm just gonna say probably so. But you can put that to the test. Or maybe you've already done that once. Listen, I love food and I've traveled the world and mainly on mission trips and in developing countries. And I've had the pleasure of eating some of the best meals of my life at roadside stands in Central and South America. I love it. I've also had a lot of food poisoning, and I've learned there's some things I will never eat again. Bolido. I didn't even know what that was. It was a drink on the side of the road. Now, that looks good. I drank it. I've never been so sick in my entire life. I thought I was going to die. I put it to the test, and I've learned. You have to put something to the test to find out if it's true. Or there's two ways that we learn. We learn by truth that somebody else tells us, or truth that we experience through pain. We are called to take the truth of the Word of God and apply it in our life. And here's the truths that you have to know and apply in your life. Here's the first one. There's four. God uses trouble to teach us to trust Him. God uses trouble. This is a truth. God uses trouble to teach us to trust Him. Jesus made this promise. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. I don't like that promise, but I found it to be very true. Jesus says, in this world, you'll have trouble. But then there's a comma there. It says, he says, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3, Paul's writing to the church in Rome, and he says this. He says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Say what? We can rejoice when we run into trouble and trials and problems, for we know that they help us develop endurance. God will use trouble to teach us to trust Him. Look at what it says in the next verse, verse 4. It says, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. In verse 5, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us. So this is Paul. He's saying, hey, you're going to run into trouble, just like Jesus said. But guess what? You're going to grow through it. God will take the trouble, and He'll teach you that He is trustworthy. For we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. You know, I watched Pastor Josh Bigwood, our executive pastor, and his wife Kelly as they walked through cancer and are still walking through that. And he said this, this is almost 7 years ago when she was first diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. He said, after about 6 months, he said, you know, God's given us the grace to walk through this season. And they're still walking through it, and they're still walking in grace. I know for the over 4 years that my wife was dealing with grand mal seizures that ultimately devolved into startle seizures, which is very rare. Any loud noise could cause her to have a grand mal seizure. It was very trying. And for 4 years, she was unable to drive. The seizures were about a five-year period. And yet God gave us the grace to walk through it. And you know what? It taught us that He is trustworthy. And even in the most difficult of circumstances, you can experience His love. I want the truth inside of you that God will use trouble to teach you to trust Him. That's the first truth I want you to apply, because here's the truth. You're either in a season of trouble. You're either coming out of a season of trouble, or you're probably about to go in one if you're not either one of the other two. Trust Him. Trust Him through all of it. He is faithful. Here's the second truth that I want you to know, that every problem has a purpose when submitted to God. See, I hate the statement that everything happens for a reason. I'm like, really? I just got rear-ended. What was the reason? I'll tell you what the reason was. That goofball was on their phone, not looking at where I was in traffic, and it hit me. Everything happens for a reason. That's dumb. However, every problem has a purpose when we are submitted to God. Look at this. I can go right back just a few pages over Romans 8, 28. Look at this. It says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. What's that mean? I'm going to read it again. We know that God causes everything to work together. In other words, all of the problems that we have, He'll cause them to work together for the good, but it's conditional to those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. See, I want you to be like Christ. I want you to be transformed by His truth, but you have to know that the problems that you face when submitted to the purpose of God in your life, in the end, get flipped around for good. Maybe it's for you, maybe it's for other people, maybe it's for both. But it's never for none, because God never wastes problems and pains when they're given to Him. If you want to be like Christ, you have to trust God in the place of trouble. You have to know that the problems that you experience have a purpose when surrendered to Him. I'm going to read verse 29 because it's so good. You know, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called to His purpose. For God knew His people in advance. See, God's outside of our timeline. He's in every timeline. He's outside of time as we know it. He's everywhere all at once, all at the same time. So He knows everything. It says, for God knows His people in advance. Look at this. He chose them to become like His Son. Now remember, Paul's just talking about problems, all things. Everything works together for good, even the bad things if you're called to His purpose. And he says, well, yeah, God sees everything in advance, and He chose them. Who's them? That's you and me, to become like His Son, so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. In other words, God is trusting you to trust Him through through your problems, so that His purpose for good in reaching other people and us becoming like Jesus to them happens. Be transformed by the truth. You've got to know that God uses trouble to teach us to trust Him, that God will take our problems and turn them towards His purpose and good in the long run. Here's the third thing. And because these first two, like the trouble and the problems, is we trust Him and we know that there's a purpose in it. This is about faith. So there's two things that make us like Jesus. The first one is faith, where we trust God regardless of circumstances. Remember Jesus, before He's about to be betrayed, before He's going to be tortured and falsely accused and crucified, humiliated, stripped naked, beaten to a bloody pulp? The Creator of the universe submitted Himself to the will of God. I know that sounds wild, isn't it? But it's Jesus, God in human form. And He took on the limitations of this. You know the prayer, probably, if you've ever been in church. Jesus knows what's coming, the pain, the misery, the humiliation, the scorn and ridicule. And He says, Lord, if there's any other way, please that. But not my will be done, I want yours to be done. See, that's the faith that we're called to have, just like Jesus did, because life isn't always easy. Man, it's a beautiful day out here, and it's cool, the wind's blowing. But make no mistake, it's a broken world. And trouble, it's part of it. I want you to have faith, to be so rooted in the truth of God that He uses trouble to teach us that He is trustworthy, that we can give Him our problems and He'll turn them into part of His purpose for good. That's faith. You have to have that. The second two things that I want to talk to you about are obedience, because God uses temptation to teach us to obey Him. You see, every temptation is an opportunity to honor God and do the right thing. I'm going to say that again. Every temptation is an opportunity to honor God and to do what is right. So here's the truth. God uses temptation to teach us to obey Him. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13. And I'm too far. Let me skip back one page. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. In other words, temptation's coming. But the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. Why is that important? Why is that in there? Here's why. Because the enemy makes us think that nobody's dealing with the problems that we're dealing with. But they are. No temptation in your life is different from what others experience. Then look at the next sentence. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you're tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. See, the tactic of the enemy is for you to believe that the only way to get through temptation is to give in to it. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with this. Like, I just got, if I just do it, I know that it's not gonna go away. Well, it will temporarily, but it's gonna set up a pattern of sin in your life. So I grew up in the, as a little bitty kid in the late 70s, most of my childhood in the 80s. And, I grew up, my dad was surrounded by farmers and welders and hunters, and we were hunting all the time. And it was amazing to me, all these guys at like 7 in the morning were like drinking nonstop, you know, as we're getting out of the duck blinds, we was limiting out, and smoking cigarettes one after the other. Listen, the way that you stop smoking and the way that you stop drinking is you don't give in to the temptation. That just perpetuates the cycle. You know that God can deliver you. I'm using that as an example from whatever it is that you are wrestling with. God uses temptation to teach us to obey Him. And here's the fourth and final principle. God uses trespasses to teach us to forgive. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us this day and give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. See, God uses trespasses to teach us to forgive. So here's what I want you to know, that God's forgiven you. He's forgiven you. And that God has a purpose and a plan for you. But you will never be like Jesus unless you first know Him. Do you know Him? Are you seeking Him more if you do? Are you getting to know Him deeper? See, you were created to be like Jesus. To know your purpose, to live at peace, to fulfill the call on your life, to bring people out of darkness to light. And maybe you're walking through a season of darkness right now. I'm going to encourage you to surrender to Jesus. Maybe that's you. Why don't you pray with me right now if that's you? Say, dear Jesus, I surrender everything in my heart to you. Every area of darkness and sin, I turn to you. I choose you. I surrender all of me to all of you. I receive your forgiveness for my sins. I'm yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, please let us know. I want to connect you to God's people as you connect to God's purpose, because you're going to need some people to encourage you, and God's got a plan for you to encourage others. So click on the link in the chat box underneath. Get connected. We love you guys. Look forward to seeing you next week. God bless.